It's Plant Talk with Dave DeCock right here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Dave DeCock is a retired horticulturalist, and man, he is the lord of the lawn, the prince of the peonies. And he's brought to you this week by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Gene's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Dave, welcome back to KFGO. How is the growing going this week?
Sounds good. It's good to be here, and with all the rain we've had, everything should be doing good.
No doubt. When do cucumbers and squash flowers, and they don't develop fruit, is there something that you can be doing for them?
Oh, okay. Basically, what's happening there is cucumbers, squash, melons, they produce male flowers before they produce female flowers. Male flowers come a little bit earlier. And typically what happens then is you get flowers and you don't see any fruit, and people are concerned about that. But then what will happen, the female flowers will come next. If they don't, if the fruit gets a little bit sized, then it turns yellow and falls off. That just means that they didn't get pollinated. And it's a pretty common thing, because the melons and the cucumbers, they have to cross-pollinate. And if they don't get cross-pollinated, of course, the fruit doesn't develop.
Someone wants, is there, what can you do to get them if you know that you're having that problem?
Well, what you can do, I can remember a time that Jack Stundy and we went over to Moorhead and did a plant talk from Moorhead, and the guy there said he sweeps his cucumbers all the time, and we wondered what the world he's talking about. What he does, he just goes out with a broom, and he sweeps over the top of them, and what that does, it causes enough wind movement to move the pollen from the male flowers to the female flowers, and then you get the fruit.
Easy fix. Is treating Creeping Charlie this time of year effective? That's a question in our text club, Dave.
It probably will be now after the rain. Normally weeds don't kill very well when it's hot and dry. But we've had pretty good rains. I would guess the Creeping Charlie's probably growing pretty vigorously. And if it is, then of course, treating it would work good to treat now with the rain we've had.
Okay, I have a silly question myself.
Sure.
We've talked a lot about clover in the lawn, and that's, of course, those little white flowers that pop up in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
What are the big clumps of yellow flowers that we're seeing? Is that some type of clover, too?
It's a legume, too. You see a lot of that growing along the highways and stuff. I forget what the name of it is. I've got senior time here where I forget names, but I know it's in the legume family, too. And the same thing you use to control the white clover would work for that, too.
Okay. You can text in your own question to 35270, or you can give Dave a call. The phone lines are open, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. Now, we're not getting to any point where we can dig and divide or do any of that since it's the middle of summer, right, Dave?
Well, the first things that would come due would be irises. And usually irises, late July into early August, they can be dug and divided. But most everything, the peonies, lilies, daylilies, they're usually about Labor Day. And then most of the other perennials would be done in the spring.
This leads into a great text question we have for you, Dave. This person says, if I have to transplant a peony before September, any tips?
Well, I guess what I would do, I would tend to cut it back pretty severely, take as much dirt as you can with it, and water it in good after you get it transplanted. And peonies are pretty tough, so my guess would be is that it would be okay.
Let's go to the phone line. We've got Jim on the line for you.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, hello. I've got some rose bushes that they've got some holes in them. Obviously, something's eating them.
Okay. Holes in the leaves.
Yeah.
Holes in the leaves. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's an insect called a leaf cutter bee that will do that. And what they do is they cut almost like round holes in the leaves. And what happens is they cut those holes from leaves, and they use that material for their nest. The way to tell with that is if you've got holes in the leaves and then the new growth is coming and that doesn't have holes in the leaves, then it just shows that what happened has happened in the past, and spraying or doing anything like that would be just a waste of time and effort now. Because usually they come and they only last for a certain period of time and then they move on. So if the new leaves look good, don't bother to do anything.
All right. So that's kind of what's happening. I just noticed some new growth.
Okay, yeah. As long as the new leaves look fine, you're fine.
In the spring, can you put 7 on there, or what do you put on there in the spring?
If you knew when it was going to be a problem, you could treat them. Now, what can be done with roses, if you can get an insecticide that's a systemic type insecticide, like the Isotox or the Orzine from the past, if you get something that's systemic and you spray the roses with it, and the insect comes and feeds on the leaves or cuts the holes in the leaves, that would kill it.
Okay.
That would kill them, but it's not going to hurt the plant.
Right. So 7 doesn't really work for that, I suppose, or 10.
Well, 7 would work. The only thing with it, every time it rains, you'd have to do it again.
Oh, gotcha.
Whereas if you use a systemic insecticide, then it gets absorbed into the leaf, and you don't have to do it again if it rains.
Okay, is there a brand of that?
There was a... Ortho's got a couple products. I think Orthene is one that's still available. But if you look at insecticides and it says it's a systemic, that means it gets absorbed into the leaves, and that would work.
That would stay in there for
a number of months.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. Anytime, Jim. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Someone texted in and answered our question here. Yellow flower you were asking about is bird's foot trefoil.
Yep, is that right. Sounds good.
Yep, Dave is right. Yep. It is a legume. Okay, thanks for that message. I have a pepper plant. Yep. It only had one pepper really early, and now we haven't seen any peppers or even the start of anything. It's green and looks good. Will we get any more from that plant, or is it done for the year?
No, I would think you should surely get more. Sometimes what will happen is if you plant plants like peppers and they get fruit very early, sometimes if the plant gets stressed when it's in the pot, it will actually set fruit and you get fruit early. Then what will happen is when you get a plant in the ground, you get it watered, things are good, then the plant grows in size and then there's a period of time between when you plant it and the first fruit, and you'll get the next fruit. So there shouldn't be a problem. You should get more fruit.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. John is next.
Hi, John.
Hi, Dave. How are you today?
Good.
How are you, Dave? Good. Say, I have a question. I take care of a cemetery down here in Lisbon, North Dakota, and I've got clover coming out of my ears. What's the deal?
Right. Well, the thing with clover is, have you tried to treat for it?
No. I'm going to spray for clover and dandelions sometime, you know, August, September time frame. But
right.
I've never seen clover this. I mean, all over.
Yeah, I don't know why it sprayed. Maybe it got a chance to go to seed or something, and that's how it got, that's how it spread like that. But clover... The typical spray that you might use, a 2,4-D or something for dandelions, isn't going to do the job for clover.
Well, I'm going to use wide match.
Okay. Is that something that works on clover?
Yeah, it's really good on clover and really good on
dandelions
and stuff. But now, will that clover, being it's a legume, will that put any nitrogen in the ground?
I would imagine it would to a degree. I know that legumes do that. I'm not sure how much clover would do. Some do more than others. So that's a something. Seeing it's a legume, it probably does. But I don't know how much how beneficial it would be.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Anytime. Bye, bye, John.
We'll continue to take your calls. This is Plant Talk on KFGO. Dave DeCock, retired horticulturalist, will be here until 2 o'clock on KFGO Radio. Plant Talk is on the air, and back to the phone lines we go. Dave Decock, Vic is next.
Hi, Vic.
Hi, Dave. Hey, I got a silver maple, and the leaves are curling up and turning black.
Okay, is it, did they turn yellow first, or didn't they?
No, and it seems, I've seen it a couple of times, and then it comes out of it. I mean, I don't know.
Do the leaves turn black from the edge of the leaf, or does it just go black all at once? Or
they turn from the edges in.
Okay. Is it the whole tree or just one side? Or
no, I believe it's the whole tree.
Okay. I guess the only thing I can think. Have you had a lot of moisture or not? Or
well, no. I mean, we've had probably. Well, we never had any or a lot up until about 3 weeks ago. Now I think we've had like a total of 4 inches.
Okay. Has the tree recovered since we had the moisture?
Not yet.
Okay. Are you seeing any new growth or?
Not yet.
Okay. Now, are all the leaves that way, or just the new leaves, or?
Golly, I'd have to look, Dave. I don't recall. I think they all eventually do that.
Okay. But that's unusual. You know, maples are it's very common to get iron chlorosis, and you get yellow leaves, and then they will, if they're bad enough, they will actually turn brown, too, but.
Uh-huh.
Beyond that, the only thing I could imagine would be that dryness might be a problem, especially if we get windy, hot weather. That might cause the leaves to turn black.
Uh-huh.
But if they recover, then I don't know that I would guess it's not a serious problem if they're going to recover. Now, how does the trunk look?
The trunk is good.
Okay. There's no dead bark or anything. No bark peeling off or dead bark, anything like that?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I don't know beyond that. If it's going to recover, that's good, but I don't know why that your leaves would turn black and then that you'd get new growth. The other thing that will sometimes happen in the spring, of course, if the leaves are coming out and we get a frost, then that would happen, but it's been a long time since we've had a frost, so I doubt very much that that's the problem.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Well. I guess I don't know much you can do. The moisture we've had should have been. If it's going to come back, that moisture is going to do it for it.
Right. Yep.
So okay. I would say don't do anything beyond wait and see.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, Beck. Yep. Bye bye.
Dave, we have a question in our text club. Well, we have a few of them here. I have jalapeno pepper plants, and the leaves on the bottom are okay, but stems on the top two-thirds have no leaves on the top. I did not see any bugs, and I even powdered them. No fruit production now. What is going on?
Okay, want to read that to me again?
Yeah, I have jalapeno pepper plants, and the leaves on the bottom are okay, but stems on the top two-thirds have no leaves on top. I did not see any bugs. I even powdered them. No fruit production now. What is going on? So it sounds like pepper plants died on the top and not the bottom?
Well, unless the leaves got eaten off by something, but I can't imagine anything wanting to eat pepper leaves. But
right.
It doesn't say that the whole top died. It just said that there's no leaves.
No leaves,
so
right.
I would have something ate the leaves off, but I can't imagine what would eat the top leaves off and not the rest. And the other thing is, if all the plants are affected or if there's just a few, but I would say if the stems and everything are green but the leaves are gone, it has to be something that came and ate the leaves off.
Sure.
You know, if you got a disease or insect, there'd be holes in the leaves or black spots on the leaves, but the leaves wouldn't be totally gone.
Right.
I would guess, too, that you're probably not going to get much for any kind of peppers out of them, because typically when the leaves are gone, there's no real nutrient going into the plant that's going to produce fruit. So my guess is if the amount of fruit is going to be very limiting, you'll be able to tell too, because if at the end of the stems or twigs you start getting new leaves, then for sure the leaves have been taken off by something.
Sure, good point.
You can watch for that, but my guess would be is the fruit production would certainly not be very great.
No, they said not getting no fruit production now. So
Right. Yeah.
And, not gonna
and
get
probably
a,
what yeah. You're not gonna get a bumper crop later either, I would guess.
Right. Dave Decock is with us. It is Plant Talk. When we come back, we have another question about moving peonies and a dandelions question. We'll get back to your phone calls as well. 237-5948. It's Plant Talk on KFGO. Plant Talk with Dave Decock is every week during the growing season from 1 to 2 o'clock on Thursdays. And this week is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Jeans, the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Okay, Dave, back to the phone lines we go. Wendy is next.
Hi.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Say, I'm calling about the jalapeno pepper plants.
Yeah, sure.
Last year, we had deer eating the tops of ours. And
oh,
it was like
okay.
Four different pepper plants they got into mine. So now I have to cage them up and protect them.
Ah, sure. I'm kind of surprised the deer would eat peppers, but maybe their taste is a little different. I would think peppers wouldn't be that exciting to eat, but that would make sense because they would eat the top leaves first, and they would be the most tender. So yeah, that makes sense. So thanks for calling.
You bet. Thank you. Bye bye.
Sure. Uh huh. Bye bye.
Daryl is next. Dave.
Hi, Carol.
Daryl. Yep.
Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
Hello there. I've got a question on a Crimson King maple.
Okay.
We bought it. This is the third season for it. We bought it as a bare root tree and planted it. And the first year done well. The second year, it just didn't do much of anything. Now we're in the third year. It doesn't seem to grow up. It just stays bushy.
Okay. Now, does it have a leader or not?
It had several, but I cut all off but one.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I guess I don't know of any reason. You know, what variety of maple was it? Do you remember?
I think it's a Crimson King. It's got red leaves on it.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't know what a person could do to make it grow tall faster. You know, if it's got a lot of leaves on, of course, that's great because the more leaves you have, the more nutrient is going into the plant and the faster it should grow.
Yeah. I just don't
understand why you could prune the tops, the sides back, you know, and that would make it more pyramidal looking, but I don't know that it's going to make that the center part grow any faster.
Okay. Well, the main leader, should I be pruning that off or just leaving it alone?
No. Leave the main leader there because that's what's going to get height. That should go up and you should eventually get branches on that. So leave the main leader alone, but you had numerous leaders before. And of course that isn't going to help it grow tall faster.
Right.
If you have a single leader, you're going to get height much quicker. So I think you probably did what you could for it. Now, as long as the rest of the tree is healthy, you got a lot of leaves, I would guess in the long run, it's going to come out of it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Back to the text club for just a moment. An older lady told long ago that if the perennial bloomed in the spring, you should move it in the fall. I have so many peonies that I want to move, so I am confused now as to when to move them.
Well, peonies are typically done about Labor Day. So that saying holds true to a degree. But things like iris, peonies, lilies, daylilies, they're all done in the fall. Most other things are done in the spring, but those specifically are done in the fall. So you're right there. So wait till about Labor Day, and it will be a great time to move peonies.
Okay, what is the best way to naturally get rid of dandelions without picking them individually?
Oh, my God. I don't know if there is a natural way to get rid of them if you don't want to use some type of chemical. I know that you've got these dandelion things you stick in the ground, cut the roots, pull the dandelion out. But I've tried that myself, and I've never had much success because it's so difficult to get all the root. And it seems if you cut it off and you pull it out and there's root left, it comes back. So that's the only way naturally that I know of that you could get rid of them without using some type of chemical.
Sure. Let's get back to the phone lines. Bruce is next.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Dave. I'm just wondering, when's the best time to transplant a peony bush and a rose bush?
Okay, the peony bush, right after Labor Day would be a good time. The rose bush, since roses typically have more difficulty making through the winter, roses I would do right away in the spring when they just start to grow. But the peony can be done right after Labor Day.
Okay, and then cut them both down pretty good or no?
The peony, yeah. You cut them both down pretty good before you move them.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Sounds good. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Taylor is next, Dave.
Hi, Taylor.
How are we doing, Dave? I have a good maple tree out on the boulevard. It's got the white stuff growing all out of the side of it. It's looking pretty dead. But the thing I'm noticing all throughout my yard and the boulevard, I'm getting all these little tiny trees growing all up around it. Would those be coming from the roots because the tree's dying, or?
That could be the problem. What will happen is if the tree trunk has problems, if the bark dies or for some reason, excuse me, if you have damage to the trunk itself or the trunk dies and the trunk starts to peel off, the top of the tree will die and the root system is still good. So basically what happens is those roots send up these little suckers and they'll come up all around the tree. Sometimes you'll even see it if people cut a tree down, you'll see they'll get little ones coming up around it. And the white on the trunk is probably a fungus that's growing on the wood, on the dead wood of the tree itself.
Okay, so do I chop your tree down and try to kill all the little suckers, or how do I get rid of them?
No, you say it's a boulevard tree?
Yeah.
Does the city take care of boulevard trees where you live?
I have no idea. I've only lived there for a couple months.
Where are you at, Taylor?
Where do you live?
I live in the Ridge, North Fargo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Cole, Fargo's got a forestry department. Call them and leave a message and tell them to check it out because they should take care of that for you.
Okay.
Boulevard trees in Fargo belong to the city, so they should take care of taking it out, and hopefully they'll put something new in for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Which makes some of us mad after we plant our boulevard trees and then they just come along and cut them up. Like just cut, you know, when they trim the tree, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, I know it's yours now, but I bought it and I wanted those branches.
Right. Yeah, I know.
So hard sometimes.
But if it ever gets big and it dies, though, you'd be happy it's there.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. Someone wants to know any insecticides to help keep worms out of apple trees as the apples develop, Dave.
Oh, they're probably talking about apple maggots. And typically with apple maggots, we spray starting late in June. And I use 7 for that. It's a liquid mixed with water. You spray the tree down, and I would do it every week. Now there are some new substitute products for 7 that are supposed to be better. I'm not sure how often you use them, but normally you start in late June. And you keep spraying till probably early August, depending on the variety of apple tree you have. But they're trying to spray the tree to kill the apple maggot flies before they lay into the fruit itself.
Someone wants to know, if you let a tree sucker grow, will it grow into a full-size tree eventually?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it would. It's going to depend what kind of tree. If it's an apple tree or a flowering crab or a tree that's grafted, it will grow into what the rootstock was that they used to graft onto. Now, all apple trees are grafted. So if your apple tree dies and you get a sucker coming up, you're going to get a tree, but it's going to be the tree that they used as the rootstock. It will not be. If it was a Harrelson apple tree, it would not come back and be a Harrelson apple tree. It would come back and be some type of a crab apple or a flowering crab. It wouldn't be the variety that you planted. But if it's not a grafted tree, then yes, it would come back to exactly what you had originally planted.
Okay. We'll come back with the rest of your questions here. We'll wrap up Plant Talk. A little joke for you in our text club. Do you know when the best time to plant a tree is? 20 years ago.
That's pretty true.
We'll come back with more of Plant Talk with Dave Decock here on KFGO. We have a room for you on the phone line if you want to finish out the show with us. 237-5948, 800-880-5346.
It's Plant Talk with Dave Decock on the Mighty 790 KFGO. A couple minutes left here. If you still want to get on the phone lines, 237-5948. Up next, Dave, we have Randy.
Hi, Randy.
How you doing? Hey, question. Good. How do you get rid of ground wasps?
Oh, okay. You're going to have to get something to spray. You see the hole where they go in and out?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get one of these wasp sprays and spray that in the hole as much as you can. But when you're dealing with bees or wasps or hornets, you never want to do it during the day. You want to wait until it's just about totally dark in the evening and then put the spray in. Now, they typically they all get back into the nest at night. So if you did it during the day, the ones that are out, they're going to hear the ones inside screaming for help, and they're going to come back and sting the heck out of you. So you want to do it as late in the evening as you can.
Okay, that's what's going on, because I've used 3 cans now so far, and they're still there. So I got to do that. I got to do it at night then. Okay, gotcha.
Right,
thank
do it.
You.
Yeah, you want to do it. Do it as late as you can still see the hole, you know, but just as dark as you can get.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, bye-bye.
Next up, we have Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, I've got silver maple trees, and of course they get chlorosis, and I feed them a liquid iron that I just spayed in. I'm wondering about time of year. When's the best time of year to do that? Fall or early in the spring? What would you recommend?
It really, I don't think it makes all that much difference, Paul. I think the big thing is to get it in the ground so it's available to the roots. I know I've done it in the spring. I've done it in the fall. I guess I don't do it. If it's hot and dry in midsummer, I don't do it because that's, you know, you don't want to hit roots and cause any kind of damage to the roots. But I've done it in either spring or fall, and either one I would think would be equally as good.
How many times a year do you do it, or what's recommended?
I don't know that you can do it too much, to be honest with you. Sometimes it doesn't even do any good. You know, I've seen people try it, and they've tried everything, and the maple still goes. But I would say spring and fall would be adequate, but it's hard to say for sure because every tree is different.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, bye-bye.
Thanks, Paul. Margaret is next up, Dave.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi, I have something coming up in my flower bed. It's about 4 feet tall. It has great big leaves on it. They're about 7 inches long and 3 inches wide.
Okay.
It just keeps growing up in the air. I'm wondering if I have a beanstalk. I can't imagine. I've never seen anything.
Now, what's the leaf like? Is it a...
They're oval. And they come up one leaf, and then the next leaf, and then the next leaf. There's no flowers. There's no nothing. It just keeps on growing and getting leaves. And it's got a stalk is, way bigger around than a pencil. It's, you know, pretty good sized stalk.
Sure.
About now, like my middle finger or something.
Have you felt the leaf at all to see what the leaf feels like?
Well, it's not fuzzy.
Okay.
It's just
is it nice and soft or not?
just smooth, I guess I would say.
Okay. Yeah, there's a plant called a velvet leaf, which is a lot like that. I'm not sure at all if this is it, but they're fairly attractive. The one thing you don't want to do, of course, is you don't want to let it set seed, because if it set seed, you'll have a ton more next year. What's that?
Do they ever flower?
Yeah, they do. They do. Oh, so you can leave it flower, but make sure after it's done flowering that you get that dead flower off there, because you don't want no more seed.
Yeah, I was gonna chop it out, and then my neighbor said, "Oh, try and find out what it is. This is interesting."
Right. What you could do, you could take a leaf or something to the extension office and have them look at it. They should be able to identify it for you, but I'm not sure that they're even open, so.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call, Margaret. We appreciate it. And Plant Talk today has been sponsored by some great sponsors: Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Valley Turf Sod Farm. Dave, thanks so much again for another great edition of Plant Talk. We will talk to you again next week at the same time.
Sounds great. We'll be here then.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Plant Talk every Thursday from 1 to 2 o'clock during the growing season.